Second shiur, we are honored today to have Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, who will speak on the topic of between Bechira, Bechora, and Bracha in Sefer Bereishit, how and why the Avos were chosen. Rabbi Liebtag is a renowned teacher of Tanakh, teaching in Midrash at Lindenbaum, MMY, and Aroh College in Israel. He's famous for pioneering Torah through the internet, and he played an instrumental role in creating the virtual Beit Midrash at Yeshivat Har Etzion, which reaches tens of thousands of readers worldwide. He has created his own online Tanakh study center. His unique approach to teaching Tanakh is enhanced by over 20 years of experience learning and teaching in Yeshivat Har Etzion. It's a wonderful privilege and honor for us at Kol Yom Rishon to welcome Rabbi Menachem Liebtag.
The topic I wanted to pick was I call it a Shir Klali on Sefer Bereishit, simply to take one basic idea and use it to explain a lot of different things. I think that's what happens in a Shir Klali, should happen in a Shir Klali, where you take one, what's called one Chakira, and based on that Chakira you can understand a lot of details that seem to be problematic, one Chakira, and puts them all together and then causes new problems. So that's for the next week Shir Klali. First of all, give me examples of people who were chosen in Sefer Bereishit. The goal is to understand three concepts in Sefer Bereishit. One is Bechira, being chosen. The other, Bechora, firstborn. There's no... being firstborn, that's it. The idea of being firstborn. And the third one is Bracha, blessings. There's no shortage of blessings. There's a big topic about firstborn in the book. And there's definitely a lot of choosing going on. Just to clarify the topics, give me examples of people who were chosen in Sefer Bereishit. Yeah?
Noah was chosen.
Right. Okay. Noah was chosen. Who else? Yitzhak. Avram. Yosef. They're all chosen. But every time someone's chosen, we always ask the question, what were they chosen for? Like, what was the reason for their being chosen? Right. Give me examples of being firstborn. Is it Ishmael or Yitzhak? Yeah? Who else? Yosef and Yaakov. Kain and Hevel. I'm not sure if they're... Reuven, Yehuda, Yosef. See the topic comes up. Who else? Later on in Shemot. But just in, it's a big topic in Bereishit, for sure. And Brachot. Who gets Brachot? In Klalot, yeah. No. Yeah, Yaakov gives Brachot to his kids. Noach gives Brachot to his kids. Avram gives gifts to his kids. Ephraim and Menashe get blessings. Yitzchak gives blessings. Right? All those topics come up a lot, and what we want to try and do is figure out what they're about. Try to make sense out of them. To begin, I simply want to make a real simple distinction between Noach and Avram, which is classic, just to show how a chiluk helps clarify things. Everyone agreed that Noach and Avram were both chosen. But when it comes to Noach, what came first? Did God decide, Noach, you're a great guy, and therefore I'm going to destroy mankind? Or did God decide, I'm going to destroy mankind, but I need Noach? But what makes more sense? The latter. And that's exactly what Chumash does. If you look at the end of Parshat Bereishit and the beginning of Parshat Noach, Chumash goes out of its way to tell you how upset God is with mankind. Remember? Vayinachem Hashem. God's upset with what? I think that's our first source. Same thing in the beginning of Noach. We could have brought the end of Parshat Bereishit as well. God's terribly upset with mankind. He sort of changes his mind. Remember, ki ratat ki yetzadam ra, rak ra kol yamin. And God says, emchet adam asher asiti. We get rid of everything. And God basically decides to, not so much to destroy, but recreate. I like using recreate, because that's what ends up happening. God decides, I'm going to start again. The next thing he decides is, then he picks Noach. Why is Noach being chosen? Again. That's why Noach over anybody else. First, why is Noach being chosen, and why Noach is being chosen? Why is anyone being chosen? Because God decided to recreate. Why Noach over Yaakov or Moshe or somebody else? Because he was a tzaddik tamimi abedorotav. Once his job is over, once the flood's over, is there any special status to Noach? That's it. He did his job, and sort of half in jest and half seriously. What happens when his job's over? He retires. remember? He starts to, I mean, I'm saying that half in jest, but half, there's something in the story of he says Vayechal Noach, but someone's job is complete, there's sort of emptiness and how to fill it. But at the end, he blesses his children, actually curses Canaan, blesses Shemen, Avram. Keep that in mind. We have a blessing, we have a choosing. How about, take that parallel to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is chosen. Now, what came first? Did God see Avram? What a wonderful guy, what a tremendous personality. Right? And therefore, I'm going to reward him with a land and with blessing, etc. Was that the order? Or did God decide, I want a nation for some reason? I want a nation. I need a forefather for that nation. And hence, he chose Avram Avinu. First of all, what makes more sense and what fits into Chumash?
The first one makes more sense. The
first one makes more sense that Avram was this wonderful person. And the sense of Midrashim that reflect that idea. Avram found God on his own and Avram broke the idol. All these things Avram did. And it looks like God, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Therefore, I'm giving you this special land and special blessing and you get to be the best. But Chumash doesn't do that. Chumash out of nowhere tells us God chose Avram Avinu with no apparent reason, gives him, promises him a land and then takes away that promise and says, the land I promised you only 400 years from now. Right. And says, he promises him Tzoras, not, you know, you ever read Ben Avtarim? God promises him land, but promises him trouble for 400 years. And doesn't really promise him, and when he gives him blessing, it's that he should be a blessing, not receive blessings. If you read it carefully, I'm blessing you so that you can help mankind. And it looks more like Avram is not being chosen in reward, but Avram is being chosen towards the goal, towards the purpose. And hence, Avram is also being chosen. And Chumash doesn't tell us, again, why in the beginning, for what purpose, nor does Chumash tell us why Avram over anybody else, but assumes that Avram is being chosen to become a nation. And that's clear as we go through Chumash, that God's decision to pick Avram Avinu, his primary reason is the first word, V'eschala goy gadol, God wants a nation. As Chumash unfolds, what's going to be the purpose of that nation? That'll be a nation that God wants a nation that's going to represent him among, to be a blessing for all mankind, to bring the name of God to all mankind. That's a theme through the rest of Bereshit and Chumash. God wants a nation that's going to make a name for God. The detailed plan of how to become that nation, we're going to get at Har Sinai. Remember, and at the end of Sefer Dvarim, we review it. The idea is God wants a nation, a holy nation, or nation sanctified, set aside, keeping special laws to be a model nation for other nations to learn from. And that becomes the idea of a chosen nation, or Am HaNifchar, or Am HaKadosh. Now, if that's why God picked Avram Avinu, and he's being chosen, I'm going to use the word Bechira to talk about that idea. Based on what God told Avram Avinu in the beginning, he comes to Shechem, he says, "Lazarcha natati et haaretz hazot," and he promises him Zerah. If I simply took what Avram was told, what should Avram think about his children? Did God ever tell him which wife in the beginning, which wife would have a child? He never says Sarah. Remember, in the beginning of Perek Tedvav, it's Sarah's idea, you know, try Hagar. It's her idea. No one told Avram that your son will only be from Sarah. And he didn't tell him how many children he would have. But if I take God's promise to Avram, literally, it seems like all of Avram's children, from any wife he would have had, would have been chosen. What do we know, though, afterwards? What happens later? Only Sarah's. But whose decision is that? Whose decision is that only Sarah's child is going to be chosen? Yeah. That's who? Who decides that only... Down the line. That's our next source, I think. Isn't it? Well, not next, it's one of them. And Perek. Oh, wait, so many before then. We'll go over the ones before then, just to catch up. we'll go back to Perek Tet in a minute about Noah. But, okay, Perek Tet Vav, it's a bit long. And Perek Yud Zayin. In the end, Pasuk Yud Tet. In source 7, in Pasuk Yud Tet. We'll go back to the other ones for a different reason later on. God tells Avram, "Avos Sarah Ishtecha, you'll let it lach Ben, v'kata shmo Yitzchak, v'kimotid briti ito, v'brit olam ezar acharav." V'kimotid briti is a phrase from Brit Milah earlier in Perek Yitzayin. "V'yishmach shematich inei brachti oto v'yifreiti v'yibreiti oto b'mod mod, shnei basar nisim yolid, n'tativ l'goy gadol." And the next passage we should have quoted, it says, "V'et briti akimet Yitzchak." I misquoted. I should have one more passage there, but that Britei Kimit Yitzchak, Asher Yivaled Lecha, Sarav Lashana, next year. Meaning, God says, God decides only Yitzchak and nobody else. I mean, only the son from Sarah, not Ishmael. Simple. That's God's decision. What does God tell Yitzchak about his future? Look at source 8. Take a look at source 8. Pretend you were Yitzchak and you heard that from God. What would you think about your children? About how many would be chosen? One of them or all of them? Is it black and white? Kilecha v'zarcha. What's it say there? Kilecha? Atena kolzal v'itbarchu v'zar kol gai haaretz. There's no... He has one wife, twins. Is there any logical reason for Yitzhak to think that only one would be chosen? We know differently because we read the Bible before. We saw the movie before. We know the story before we read it. We don't pay attention. But it's clear from this psukim that Yitzchak has every reason to think that all of his children are chosen. Just at least based on what God told him. What happens in the end? Only one's chosen. And whose decision is that only one's going to be chosen? Rivka decides, right? So what's going on? How come all of a sudden Rivka decides? What I want to show you now in the shir is not Rivka's decision either. And someone else decides. And first let me explain why, what's happening. Why can't it be? Why does it make sense that God would tell Yitzchak? Why would it make sense that Yitzchak would think that all of his children were chosen? Abram only had one son. Why can't it be that every generation only one child is going to be chosen? Why can't that be?
At some point,
why can't every generation just have one MVP? What we have?
You'll never have a nation.
Once God says, it's clear that this can't go on forever. And it would make a lot more sense. It's only going to happen. It's only once. Chosen, that would be it. For some reason, what happens?
Twice.
And then, but in the time of the Avot, they have every reason to think that they're all chosen. Something's going to happen later on that changes it around. Now, who decides that? That's what's going to be interesting. Now, to make life a lot easier, I'm going to give out a page, a little drawing, which will pass this around. This is instead of a board.
I don't want to give that in the beginning because no one will pay attention. That's just backing around.
I want to show you a little illustration, a little diagram that explains the whole concept of Bechira and Dechiya.
That's it to the back.
Or in the back?
There. Pass these around to yourself. If you don't have, raise your hand.
Back in the back. There's plenty more. Here, take these. Joey here. No, take these back there. Yeah, raise your hand if you need. We'll be all set. Okay. Take a look. I'm gonna before you look inside. I want to show you something. By hand. Okay. See this funnel? We have. I call it in class. I call it Chernobyl. Just that's for teenagers. There's this direction and that direction. Now, at some point, we have to reach some critical point. One of the forefathers has to be chosen, and from that time on, everyone's chosen. That's got to happen sooner or later. It can't be that only Ashkenazim are going to be. It's not going to be your only. It can't be that the choosing has to stop at a certain point. Once you're chosen, everyone's chosen. But up until that point, there's some choosing going on. That critical point is the middle of the thing. And then the process of who's going to be that key person from whose all children will be chosen, that's going to be the middle. Everything leading up to that point, I call Bechira. Understand? The Bechira process is the idea of choosing a nation and filtering out until we get to Yaakov Avinu. What I want to suggest is as follows, is rule number one. Bechira is only decided by God. Exclusively decided by God. That decision of how many stages? Now, once we reach that critical point and we have who's chosen, then we enter a whole new ball game called Bracham, what I call Bechorah. It means once I know that this father, all the children are chosen, once I reach that critical point, we don't know where it's going to be yet though. Once we know that all the children are chosen, then we have to build a cabinet and we have to pick a prime minister. Understand? Now we know who our team is. We need a quarterback. I'll speak American now. We need a quarterback and we know our starting team. We need to know who's tight end, front end. Understand? Who's going to make that decision about who's going to be the quarterback? Is that up to God or up to the Father? That's what we're going to call Bechorah. Who's going to be the Bechor? Is that basically who's ever firstborn? Does God decide or does the Father decide? That'll be really interesting. Okay? And number two, giving out blessings about who gets what job. Who gets to be transport ministry? Who gets education ministry? No, it's who's going to be tight end, quarterback. I forget all the names already. Fullback. Who's going to take what position? Is that going to be decided by God or going to be decided by the Father? You can guess already where that's going to go. The end of the book, Yaakov Avinu's blessings, is exactly the team. Isn't it? The Father, once we reach that critical point and we know who's chosen and all the children are chosen, we have what I call Shvatim, or tribes, then we have what's called Bracha, blessings, and also we have to say who's going to be chairman of the board, which will be called Bechorah. Got it? That's the concept. Now, look at the page and we'll see what we did. And after we do this, we'll go back and see the Pesukim inside. That's what I just explained. That's the Chap, that's the Chakir, or the, whatever you call it. That's the main point of this year. And now I'm going to do applications of it. Now, look on top left, what I call what we think. Or what we know, or what we... Yeah. I'm sorry, go back. I wanted... No, that's right, the top, one on top left. What we have, Abram is chosen by God. Then Yitzchak is chosen, and then one of his sons are chosen, right? And then we have the 12 tribes. Sort of what we think, what we know. And whose example of people being rejected? Yishmael was rejected, B'nai Keturah. Yitzchak later, Esav is going to be thrown out. Understand? But it seems like what can Yitzchak do? Yitzchak has to pick one of his children, and it's a machloka between Yitzchak and Rivka for who's going to be the chosen son. When we get to Parsha Torah, that's usually what we think. Now, when I try to show you what does Yitzchak think, that's the second board. Right. Yitzchak doesn't think that. Yitzchak thinks that they're both are chosen. And let me use a little algebra to make life easier. Okay. In this picture, remember, in the Bechira process, the question is, what we're going to see is n equal 1, n equal 2, n equal 3, or n equal 4? I mean, how much is n going to equal? Meaning, every time there's a Bechira process, every time we go one more generation, n increments by 1. What did Abram think when he was first chosen? That's why I call n equals 1. Abram is chosen. We don't have this process. We just begin right from the middle. Abram chosen all his children. N equals 1. Who decided that there's going to be n at all? That's God. Abram thought n equals 1. God, in Perek Yud Zayin, tells Abram, ki b'Yitzchak yikrei l'chazara, that n equals 2, or n equals at least 2. Got that? No. Then the question is n going to equal 3? Yitzchak thinks n equals 2. And therefore, I am there. We know n equals 3. Just to jump ahead a little bit, Yosef's going to have a dream. Everyone knows Yosef's dream, right? What's he seeing in his dream? Remember? Everyone's bowing down to him, etc. What's he dreaming about? Is he dreaming that n equals 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that he's the... Or is he dreaming about, we'll see in a minute, something else? We know n equals 3. But to appreciate what's happening in Sefer Bereshit, Yitzchak thinks n equals 2. The brothers think n equals 4. Understand? And who knows, maybe n equals 5 one day. We end up with n equals 3, but so much meta, so much tension in the book, is not knowing what n is going to be. And realizing that n is only up to God, and God doesn't show his cards so fast. Now, the bigger question is, what's it all about? Why? What's behind all these? Why does it have to be so complicated? Why can't it be a fairy tale? Why can't Abram be chosen and live happily ever after and get a land right away? Why does he have to go down to Egypt for 400 years? Why do you have to have trouble? Why do you have to be Shmuel? Why Laban? Why can't God just choose us and be everything be perfect? And behind that is the whole concept of behind these stories are patterns in Jewish, not only patterns, they challenges in Jewish history. With that, take a look again at the page. Okay. We'll get to your sefer soon. The page we'll return to in a minute. Now, with that in mind, I want to show you, I will try to understand what's happening with the story of Yitzchak. An example of brachot, when we know the end game, when we know N equals 3, what does Yaakov do? Doesn't Yaakov bless all of his children? That's Parshat Vayechi. We know those brachot. Does Yaakov also give out who's going to be firstborn? Does he decide that or not? Or does God decide that? Or who is firstborn of Yaakov's children? Who leads the pack?
Yehuda is the first one that gets a bracha. The other three, first three, don't get a bracha from Yaakov, really. It's Moshe who ends up giving a bracha.
Well, the truth is, when a father, that's interesting, when the father blesses his children, sometimes they're brachot and sometimes they're klalot. Now, if you learn child psychology, what he tells Shimon and Levi is really neat. What's he say? Aror, apam ki az. He doesn't say, he says, you aren't bad, your anger is bad. You know that little line there? It's right there in the psukim. I mean, he's not telling you have to be bad. He's not, the question, are the blessings prophecy, oh, this is gonna happen? Or does the father, knowing his children, say, these are your traits, this is bound to happen, knowing the way you've been till now, and be aware of your good traits, and be aware of your good ones, and beware of your bad ones. He's not saying you have to be bad or you have to be great. He's saying you have potential for leadership, you start a business. You have potential to sit and learn, you start a yeshiva. Right? You have a potential to do the dishes, right? You do. Right? You keep out of trouble. Right? Understand? And that's what a father... Why would a father... When in the father's life does he give out these blessings? At what stage of his life? Towards the end, when he's old. A, because up until then he was in charge. And now, and he knows his children much better with the more experience he has. That's why Yaakov blesses his children in his life. Even Noach, when he blesses his children, it's very similar. He curses Canaan, super blesses Shem to represent, to be the rabbi, to be the chief rabbi, to be the first Rosh Yeshiva, and Yefet to take care of culture. And that's a mankind. He curses Evet.
Yeah.
That's what he gives. He says, what's going to be? Every Shevet, where you're Nachalot, how... Moshe's Brachot at the end is going to talk about the Nachalot and about how they're going to do conquest. Remember? Reuven, who volunteered to be the front line, what's he get blessed with? Reuven, what's he say? What's the blessing to Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu? You know by heart. What? Yichi Reuven vayamot. Why does he need that blessing? He's the front line. He just volunteered to be the front line against the walled cities. He needs a blessing not to die. Most of you can understand that way as well. Now, with that background, realizing that when the process is over, the father has to give blessing. Who decides who's going to be firstborn? Who is firstborn among Yosef's children?
A few of them.
But who should be the firstborn? Who should be the firstborn? The firstborn. Which should be Reuven. Okay? But of course, like all through Chumash, all through Bereshit, who's ever firstborn is never the firstborn. So it's always the underdog, sort of. Now, it doesn't Reuven. How about Shimon and Levi? Why are they stepped over? Did they do anything to lose it? Now that's the story of Shem tells us that. Yehuda did things, right, to prove his leadership. So maybe Reuven should be chosen as firstborn. Then there's Yosef. How about Yosef? Is he firstborn or not? He's firstborn to them. Who is his real wife? You should know something. The idea that God's decision, that not just Yosef's children, not just Rachel's children, and Leah's children chosen, but that even the children of Zilpah and Bilhah are chosen, that's a giant fiddish. We don't know that until the end of the book. I don't think the brothers think that at all. They're fighting over, it's going to be B'nai... I think the brothers are fighting over B'nai Rachel and B'nai Leah, but B'nai Zilpah and Bilhah, that's like B'nai Keturah. They're helping out. Not they can help, but that they're going to be Shvatim? People realize how big a chiddush that is. There's a pasuk about it. Vayu b'nei Yaakov 12. The 12 shvatim is a big chiddush in Sefer Bereishit. It's part of the book because coming out of Egypt, the question are these shvatim going to get? If you know how the nachalot go, yeah. We're the nachalot of the tribes of the imahot. Where do the imahot get their nachalot? I mean the b'nei shvachot, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. Where are the nachalot geographically located? They're on the fringe. Aren't they? Dan, Naphtali, and Asher are basically the northern Galilee. That's the northern border. And God is the eastern side. Now, Reuven didn't belong there, but Reuven chose to be over there as well. But they're on the periphery. And that's where Dan should be. Dan got a little upgrade in the beginning because it was too hard to go up there, but he ends up there later on. Dan's supposed to be there from the beginning. You see, from when Moshe's about to die, God shows him, et kol Gilad ad Dan, et kol Saftali. Dan is in the end of Breshit, in the end of Sefer, in the end of Sefer Dvarim, Dan's up north. Now, back to our topic. Who gets the Bechorah? Before Yaakov blesses his children, all 12 of them, he does something else. You know, by Harkus, it's a Rishon. What's he do with Ephraim and Menashe? He says, Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon, which means, what's he getting? And remember, but now more than that. And anyone born after them, or within them. He's not saying you're Nifchar. He's making Yosef Bechor. Understand? Giving Ephraim and Menashe a double portion, the Pishnaim, it means Yaakov decides that Yosef is the Bechor. So first he picks who's the Bechor, that's Perach Memchet. And then in the next Perach, he gives out blessings to everybody who's going to be in charge of what. Keep that in mind. Now, Yaakov does that because God told him, N equals 3. And all your children are chosen, and that's it. He knows that. In fact, what event finalizes this process? What event in Chumash is going to finalize this, the middle point? There's going to be one event there that's going to make it official. Yeah, that Yaakov's M3? No, but something beforehand makes it official. What? There's a name change. Remember when Yaakov gets his name change? And it's a process getting the name change. That's why it's got to be the second time. It's official in Beit El. If we have time, we'll get back to that later on. The name Yisrael is exactly at the critical point. And that's why the name Yisrael is not it's an alternate name, not just a replacing name. It's not like the change from Avram to Avraham is totally different than the change from Yaakov to Yisrael. One's adding a letter, one's a name we don't say again afterwards. Yaakov Yisrael is a totally different type of name change. It's similar wording. It's the format is similar in the naming process, but the end result is very, very different. But the name of Yisrael, the change name of Avram begins the process. You know, it opens up end, the end exists. And the name to Kiava Mongim Netatecha, and the name change to Yisrael closes the end.
But it's interchangeable. So
what?
You say interchangeable.
No. Yaakov Yisrael is interchangeable. I'm saying the Ofi, the character of the name change from Yaakov to Yisrael is very different than the character of the name change from Avram to Abraham, even though the wording is similar. Now, back to Yitzchak. The biggest problem is what's going to happen. What's happening with Yitzchak? Why is Yitzchak deciding now to bless his children? Remember the impression we had? That was the first thing. What almost everyone thinks when they learn Parsha Toldot is they think that what's Yitzchak know? What does Yitzchak know? That only one son can be chosen, and he has to pick between: is it going to be Yosef? Is it going to be Yaakov or Esav? Remember? And it's a fight between Yitzchak and Rivka. Who's going to be the chosen son? That's how we all think. Based on what I'm showing you, there's no reason for Yitzchak to think that. What should Yitzchak think? They both are chosen. Why would he think anything different? God told him. If it's true that Yitzchak thinks N equals 2, then what does Yitzchak need to do as he gets old? Is he getting old yet? How does the story of the Brachot begin? I think it's probably on the source sheet. In Perakav. Should be there. Begin in Perakav Zayin. It's right on the second page. As he gets old, just like when Yaakov was old. And what's he say in the beginning? He tells him. Yitzchak thinks he's about to die. If I take the parallel to Yaakov Avinu, what should Yitzchak need to do first? Before he gives up Brachot, what should he need to do? He has to decide who's the Bechor. Means who's going to lead the family. So what I want to suggest is his choice of Yitzchak is not a choice of who's going to be. It's not about Bechira. Bechira is only after God. It's a choice of Bechora. Who's going to lead the family? Now, given the situation that Yitzchak has, he has two children, assuming both are chosen. One's in Ishtam Yoshevo Alim, isn't married yet, sits and learns all day, still in Koilo. His mother dresses him. Kidding on that one. Okay. The other one is in Ish Sadeh, right? Married with kids, can make a living, can support himself, can support his father. Now, I have to pick one of my children to become leader. Now, assuming that both children, the people of Israel is both children, and I have to give out leadership based on ability, and it's the father's decision based on his experience, who's the best choice to become leader? Esav. And because of his problematic character, what does he need more than anything else? He needs a bracha. He needs a bracha. Right? I mean, he needs, if he's going to be the leader, he needs a little help with that. And therefore, what does God decide to do? And what does Yitzchak decide to do? He calls Yitzchak to bless him. Now, if you want to figure out what blessing Yitzchak is getting, is it Bechira, the chosen, I mean Esav, the bracha that Yaakov wants to give, that Yitzchak wants to give Esav? If I want to figure out what he was planning to give him, how can I figure it out? What his original intention was? What he gave Yaakov, thinking he was Esav. So let's take a look at that bracha and see, is it, whenever we had Bechira, what was the Matbea Lashon? What was the format? Whenever we got to the end, whenever we talk about Bechira, what did God always say? Lezarecha atena ta'aretz hazo. Also it says, Zera v'aretz benibruchu v'chal kom yishpot adama v'etcha l'goy gadol. Those are the phrases that come out over and over again. Kochok pe'ashamayim l'rov, things like that. Listen to the bracha, now we're in Pasuk Chavzayim, Chavav, in source number 10. So it's the Perek of Zayim, start from Chavah, Vimri Lev Yitzchak, Aviv, Kshana, Shkali, Bechulei, Hey, Vayagat, Vayashaklo, Bechulei, Vayach, Reach, Bechadal, Vayvarchev, Yomer, Reach, Benik, Reach, Hasadeh, Shebrecho Hashem. Now he's ready to give him a blessing. Listen to the blessing, Pasach Chavchet. Vayitem lachalim mital ha-shamayim, Mishmane ha-aretz, Brav dugam v'tirosh, Yabdu chamim, Mishachbu lacha lu'umim, Hevig fir lachecha, Mishachbu lacha b'nei mecha, Orecha or, Bechach Baruch. Is that a blessing that you're chosen and your brother not? What's it mean, Hevei Gvir Lachecha? You know what a Gvir is? What's a Gvir? A Gvir is a Gvir. Gvir is, okay. But Hevei Gvir Lachecha means you're the senior partner. You're the leader. Now, and you're also blessed with prosperity. These blessings, does Yaakov ever give out blessings that sound like these? Later on, remember from Parshat Vayechi. Does Yaakov have blessings that sound like these at all? About Mishmane Aretz, Rav Dagam V'Tirosh? What's Yosef get? Miasher Shmina Lachmo. How about Yosef? Then probably, but later on, it talks about prosperity. A lot of them talk about prosperity. Yehuda gets leadership. Yeah, what's it say to Yehuda about his leadership? What? What's it say? But does it say about Yehuda being leader? What? Where are Yehuda? Okay. Does it say Yishtach Budacha? Something. Where's the Bakori? No, finish it. But his brothers bow down to him there, don't they? Yishtach v'lecha b'nei avicha, something like that? It's there, I'm pretty sure it's there. Yeah. Read that loud. Oh, I have it in the source sheet even. Okay, even better.
Last line,
that's it. Last line on the page, on 15. Yudat ha'iduch ha'chicha et chavar v'lecha yishtach v'lecha b'nei avicha. Got it? What do we find? The bracha that Yitzchak is giving, that Yitzchak is giving, thinking it's Esav, planning to give Esav, end up being Yaakov in trickery, is a combo of the bracha he was giving both Yosef and Yehuda, that Yaakov is later on to Yosef and Yehuda, because he's sort of sharing that leadership with those two sons, because both Yehuda and Yosef have a certain element of Bechora. And therefore, what I'm suggesting is that Yitzchak is. Wants to pick Esav not to be N=3, not to be the only chosen son, but to be the leader of the family, which makes perfect sense considering the circumstances. Okay. Later, when he would have to give out brachot to all his children, leaves only Yaakov, what type of blessing would Yaakov, what kind of job would he give Yaakov? What would be a fitting job for him? Considering Ishtam Yosheva Olim? What? A Rosh Yeshiva, maybe a Shofet, maybe a teacher, Rahman al-Litzan, something. Remember those who can't teach? Now, if that's the case, listen to the Havamina that Yitzchak has. Assuming you have two sons, I'll make it a little modern. Okay? I have two sons, one a Chiluni and one a Dati. But they're both the same nation. Right? And I got to divide up the jobs. What would be the most logical division of power? I have a son, he's not going to learn anyhow. Right? A lot of energy, a lot of outgoing thing. What job should I give him to do? Let him fight in the army. Let him run the government. Let him pay taxes. You follow? I have one son who sits and learns. What do I do with him? Let him sit and learn what we call later Yisachar Zvulun kind of setup. The Havamina makes a lot of sense. That's about now. Who intervenes in this plan? Rivka. What leads her to intervene? Why is she intervening? Yeah. Remember, now you see how every story in Bereshit fits into this. What's the first story we hear about in Parshat Toldot? Remember, Rivka has twins, but she's got she's got stomach pain. something's wrong. Who does she go to? Okay. What's Chumash say? Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. Shame is going to be, Chazal identifies shame because she won't get nevuah, but why shame is opposed to who? Yitzhak. Because what's Chumash say? Vayomer Hashem la. What did God tell her? Shnei goyim bevitnei u'shnei le'umim imeach yiparedu. What does Rivka know now? There are two different nations here, not one. It's not a family, it's two nations. It's two different nations inside. But God, for some reason, only tells her to the exclusion of her husband. And now we have the greatest setup. Where what happens? God tells Rivka, and now Rivka knows that N equals 3, and that which son is going to be chosen of Rabbi Avot Zair. Okay? But only Rivka is supposed to know that, and God doesn't want Yitzchak to know that. You see the setup? Better than a movie. Got it? That seems to be God wants Rivka to know that N equals 3. And then he doesn't want Yitzchak to know that N equals 3. He wants Yitzchak to think that N equals 2. And now we have a strange situation. Now, what's behind it, I think, is called this. This is a part from Rabbi Yobanun. I'm not sure whether he heard it from what they thought up it or heard it from somebody else, but they call it the Hesder Vort. As I thought I'd share it with you. Hesder, you know what Hesder is. He says as follows. You can see where we're going. What's the situation? Ideally, who should have gotten the bracha of leadership? In theory, because that given it, but if there's, let's say, only one son can continue and become Am Yisrael, they would all agree it would be Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov. If I can only pick one, for sure it would be Yaakov to continue the nation. Now, to be a nation of Israel, to be a nation representing God, to be a nation of the model nation, sooner or later, we need people in government. We need an Esav. We're going to need the qualities of Esav, and he said that. We also for sure need the qualities of Yaakov. The question is, are those qualities going to be in one person or in two separate people? Got the model? Okay. To be Am Hashem, to be Am Yisrael. Tarte Mashma. What has to be our basic character? We need, sooner or later, to have the qualities of Esav. But are they going to be dominant, or are they going to be only, call it maybe recessive? Something that comes up too. And how forefront have to be the qualities of Yaakov. What happens? There's no way Yaakov can get the bracha of Esav. You know why? Why can't Yaakov, and each time Yosef will then get the bracha of Hevik V'Lachecha, of leadership, of fighting, why can't he get that? Why can't the father? What? It doesn't fit his personality. He's an Ishtam. Why can't Yaakov get it? Why can't Esav get it? Because he has no ruchnius at all. Remember? That's the first story. Esav, remember when they're fighting over the Bechorah? Yaakov wanting the Bechorah means he doesn't. When you read the story superficially, it sounds like he's ripping his brother off, doesn't it? Like, oh, the poor guy's about to die. If I don't feed him, the guy's about to die. And I tell you, you can save someone's life. It says, some of your birthright. Like he has no choice. Esav is not about to die in that story. How do we know? He just came back from hunting. He's tired, maybe. He's too lazy to go up and get his own food, and he smells something good, and he says, "No, give me a bowl of soup." He's not dying of starvation. When Esav says, "Hinei anochi olech lamut," he's not saying, "I'm about to die now." What's it? Wait, Chazal understand it. What's he saying? I'm going to die. Means I'm living for today. I'm living for Olam Hazeh. What do I care about Bechora? If Bechora is leadership of the Jewish people, if Bechora is a chat, if Bechora is not about privilege, but Bechora is about responsibility. That's a question. Remember, B'nai B'chor Yisrael? Is being firstborn, is being chosen, leadership, and representing God, is it all about privilege or is it all about responsibility? Okay. Got it? Because it's about responsibility, if it's about reward, then they all fight over it. If it's about responsibility, what's Esav say? It's not worth a bowl of soup to him. That's what Esav is saying. Saying, B'chorah, I couldn't care less about this challenge of being Avram's nation. That's why he loses it. That's why that quality loses it. That's the last line, Bayivas Esav et B'chorah. That's what's behind the story. And again, Chumash paints a picture in the beginning. If you don't look carefully, it looks like Yaakov's a weak character. If you look at it carefully, he says, he's a strong character. What's he want to do? He knows that the qualities of Bechorah, he wants that leadership. He knows Esav's not qualified. He's doing everything possible to attain it, because he knows he's the right person to take the job. Now, but Yaakov, on the other hand, is still an Ishtam. Ultimately, he needs to get those qualities. What happens? How does he get his blessing, Yaakov? That's what's so neat about it. Right? Yaakov can't get the blessing of Esav because he's not Esav. What does he need to do to get that blessing? He's got to dress up. And that's what's so... The medrash is built into the pshat. Hakol ko Yaakov yadam yidei Esav. Again, why God allows that to happen? It has to do with him. But the question isn't what happened. The question is, why is Chumash tell it that way? And what's the meaning in Maseva Simi Labanim? What's the meaning to future generations? But in order to become Am Yisrael, we begin with Yaakov, we begin with Kol Kol Yaakov. That's going to be the most basic trait as a Jewish people, sitting and learning. Kol Kol Yaakov has to be the basic trait. But that same Kol Kol Yaakov has to ultimately become that political, it has to become that nation. To become that nation, what's he have to go through? God's going to send him on a training mission. He has to learn to deal with Lavan. He has to learn to deal with Esav. And what event is going to earn him his name change? Now you understand what the Medrash is about there? Okay. Remember being the Malach? He's running away again from his brother, and God tells him, you come back and fight. The story with the Malach is representing the idea that Yaakov has to fight, has to struggle, but has to fight. And only after that struggle he gets his name changed, and then he earns, and he goes through. He's got a... There's a need to fight. Yaakov's always running away all the time in the beginning. God's teaching him you have to stand up and fight. Not all the time, but at least some of the time. But on the other hand, just because you have to run a country doesn't mean you have to be only Chiloni. And only Chiloni can do that. It can't be Esav. It's got to be given with Kol Kol Yaakov, and only later, the Adam of Esav. And that trait has to be the trait of Am Yisrael for future generations. You see why it's called the Hesder Fort on the inside? Now, the idea that you learn a couple years first, but the idea that if you just can't leave the army and government to Chilonim and let the Datim sit and learn. On the other, you can't just be only, you can't say we don't need that anymore. You have to start with a Kol Kol Yaakov. But you have to develop into, then you put on, and when you act like Esav, you have to act. You can't, it's not, you're not a soldier, you're Mahut, but your essence isn't being a soldier. Your essence is a Kol Kol Yaakov. But sometimes you have to act as Esav, because you have to be, if you're going to be a model nation, you need to be a nation that has an army, but army that's just and upright. Just like you have shoftim. Every nation has shoftim. If you're a nation representing God, you have institutions of government. You have economy. You have army. You have a judicial system. Every nation has that. Because you're a nation representing God, you have to be super. You have to be exemplary in everything you do. And when you go to war, you're going to go to war at a much higher level than any other nation. When you have a judicial system, tzedek tzedek tzedof, lo tikach shochad, you have an economic system, like Shemitah, always taking care of the poor and the needy within it. You still have a strong economy, but with safeguards for the poor and the needy. You have a king, so you have to have a political system, but lo yabelo nashim, lo yabelo susim. Just like an individual, because he's representing God, has special guidelines. In Parshat Kedoshim to you, there's guidelines for the individual that we find in Sefer Vayikra and Parshat Kedoshim. There's guidelines for a nation representing God that you find in Sefer Dvarim. So based on the model, we're trying to show you, once you understand that Bechira is only up to God, and Bracha is up to the Bechora, is decided by the father based on the kid's experience, and hence afterwards Bracha, that helps explain what's happening in this story that happens afterwards. After the whole mess up, or after the first time they're stolen, Esav comes in and says, hey, don't you have another Bracha for me? What's Yitzchak tell him? What? He says, your brother came and took your bracha. And then what's he say again? Hey, don't you have one more bracha? And does he get a bracha or not? Yeah. He does. And what's his bracha? The exact same thing. The exact same thing of V'iten chamita al shemayim mishmane aratz b'chol v'radak. The same, but instead of God giving, it's... Is it on here or not? Okay, but you take a look at it. Anyone have it? You have it? But he basically gets a gashmiut again. Then it says, how about leadership? When your brother goes down, right. Yeah, you'll keep him in check. He gets as much as he can get. When the story's over, I'm assuming that later on Rivka and Yitzchak sat down for tea. Now, the Ramban asks a great question. Why didn't Rivka tell that to Yitzhak beforehand? A great question. If Rivka had been involved, why didn't she just... If she knows that Yitzhak has to be chosen, why can't she tell Yitzhak, you're blessing the wrong kid? You're making a big mistake. The Ramban says beautifully, he says that, I call it the Beis Yaakov answer, that when Rivka first got married, she thought her husband knew everything. And says, if I got involved, for sure he knows. Like that. 60 years later, when the kids are growing up, let's say Rivka, again, not saying Rivka would have done that, but Rivka is afraid when she would go to Yitzchak and say, guess what? God told me 6 years ago when I was pregnant that Yaakov is going to be chosen, and so what would Yitzchak think? She's making it. I mean, maybe she's not making it up, but it's just, she's so attached, and women are so attached to their children that not that Yitzchak would have said that, but that Rivka would have thought that Yitzchak might have said that. Well, that's enough reason to go, and that's why she's so sure that God will be with her. Remember? She says, don't worry, I'll take the curse. It's on me. She's so sure she's doing the right thing. And also, it could be that even deeper, they call that some Mishnah called emet pnimit, that it's her internal truth. She knows from God that this is what she has to do. In fact, she says, why did God tell me this 60 years ago? God wants me to know this because this is what God wants. She understands that's what God wants her to do. That's why he gave me that nevuah, because now it's my time. It's my opportunity now to intervene. She's not doing anything, but she thinks that's what God wants. And that's why God told her to do that. Now, if my theory is right, if this theory is correct, then who should make the final decision that Yaakov is chosen? Should it be Yitzhak or should it be God? Who has to decide that? Let's say N equals 3 and it's Yaakov. Who has to decide that? God should decide that. Take a look in Perek Chavav now. In Perek Chavchet, I'm sorry. The beginning of Perek Chavchet in Source 11. In Source 11, Vayikra Yitzchak HaYaakov, Vayivarech Otav, Vayitzaveh, Vayomer Lo Tikach Isha Mibnot Kanan, Kum Lech Baden Aram, V'chulei, V'chach Misham Isha. Look at Pasuk Gimel. This is Yitzchak talking to Yaakov. Listen what he says. V'kel Shaddai Yivarech Otcha, V'yafrecha V'yirbecha V'yitel L'kalamim, V'yitel Lecha Et Berkat Avram, L'chal Zarchat, L'rishtecha Et Eretz Mugurecha, Asher Nitan Alim L'Avraham. What blessing is Yitzchak giving out to Yaakov? Is that Bechira or Bracha? V'yitel Lecha Et Berkat V'yirbecha V'yirbecha V'yitel L'kalamim. It's right from Brit Milah. V'yitel Lecha Et Berkat Avram, L'chal Zarchat, L'rishtechat, Eretz Mugurecha. That's Bechira. That's word for word Bechira. That's almost the definition of Bechira. How could Yitzchak be giving out Bechira? Right, Kasha? Read the passage carefully again. Is Yitzchak giving him a bracha or not? Yeah, what's he saying? Exactly. Okay. Now he's rooting for him. He's not saying it's up to me. He's saying it's up to God. What's he saying now? Now that he realizes, now that he talks to Rivka, and he knows that N equals 3, now he's rooting for Yaakov as well. But he says, it's not up to me. It's up to you. It's up to God. And therefore, and guess who's going to give the name change? The official one. When is Yaakov going to get the official name change to Israel? Not after the Malach. The first time he gets it is when he fights with the Malach. When does it become official? That's in Perek Lamed Hey. Look in Source 12. Vayera Lima Yaakov Od Vav Peran Aram Vayvarechato Vimer Lo Elohim Psi Pasek Yod. כן, שמך יעקב לא יקרא שמך עוד יעקב כי ישראל יהיה שמך ויקרא שמו ישראל ואמר לו אלוהים אני קל שדאי פרי ורבי וקל גויים יהיה ממך ומחד מחצה exactly what Yitzchak blessed him that he would hope קל שדאי would do. קל שדאי is a name, special name that God uses when he talks to the יעקב reading to Brit Milah ואת הארץ שנתתי לאברהם יצחק לך נהל אז אני אחרי שתן את הארץ. That's good old בחירה. God confirms בחירה. God confirms N equals 3 and that's when the בחירה process ends. Now, we'll end with what happens. Hope that made that clear now. And the schmaltz part about the Hesder part, you can take it or leave it, but that's, you know, in general, of all these things, you can take whatever hashkafa you want and fit it into it. But there might still be something right, yeah. A little louder? Yeah? No, he says, assuming B'chira is over, he says, I can't give you the bracha. Yeah, Yitzchak had two brachot to give out. One is leadership, the other was Rav Rashi, was education. He was hoping to give Esav the leadership, and Yaakov, like, go to Yitzchak's Zvulun kind of idea. Because Yaakov got the leadership one, he said, I have nothing left for you. I can't give you, you can't sit and learn. Right? You won't learn a thing in Klal. It's not for you. And therefore, don't you have anything? He says, you can share the prosperity, and you can keep your brother in check. Not only afterwards, when he talks to Rivka, does he realize that 10 equals 3. And then he blesses him, and God gives up. To conclude, this gives using this idea, you can begin to appreciate what's happening with Yosef and his dreams. Yosef has a dream, remember? And everyone's bowing down to him. All 11 sheaves are bowing down to him. How can that dream be interpreted? It might sound like Bechira, that looks like now N equals 4, and only Yosef is chosen, only Yosef is chosen. And now the brothers, using the precedent from the past, that's thinking, you know, my father's making a mistake again, or you know, even though you think that that's wrong, and therefore they have to change, just like Rivka did, they have to change that destiny because he's a, you know, Mividiba. You follow? That's one way to look at it. Is he dreaming that? Or is he dreaming Bechorah? Are we all chosen? Is N equal 3? And my job is to be the Bechor. And I take that leadership. And what's it mean? But here it's only a dream. It's not a Nevoah. But it's partially a Nevoah. And that's going to lead to this whole fight between the brothers. Of who's going to remember the question? Is it B'nai Rachel, B'nai Leah? What's Yaakov worried about the second that Yosef's gone? Maybe his Bechir is gone altogether. Remember, Katonti Mikol, Yaakov, our Avot, are always worried that no matter how much God promised them, maybe they're not deserving. We do the opposite. We have a little hint here and there, and we think we deserve everything. Our forefathers have it black on white, everything, right? And they're still worried, maybe I'm not deserving. And we say, how come we don't have more and more? But that'll help us understand also the story of Yosef and his brothers. But I think at the end of the Yosef story, and we'll conclude with that, what's Yosef's dreams mean to him? Is he just the question is, he just interpret dreams like in a magical way or in a mystical way? Oh, now I know I'm chosen. Or are the dreams his guide that he has to take leadership? What does Yaakov's dream tell him? I'm supposed to be the family leader. For a while he thinks that it was only a dream. But when his brothers come down to him in Egypt and see him bowing down to him, then he realizes, remember by Spur Yosef Khala Motav, what's he realize? Now that, oh wow, now that I can make fun of him. He's saying, no. Now I realize that this is my destiny. That God wants me to become a leader, and now I have to do something and act like a leader and not like a brother. And therefore, everything he does is for the sake of his brothers, the sake of the family unity. That's a whole topic. But the question in general, dreams or prophecy, are they promises of are they promises of reward? Of what's the word? Reward. What's God promise? All these people that I'll bless you, etc. Are they promises of privilege? That's it. Is God giving, oh, your privilege, because you're chosen, it's your privilege, and therefore you get all these special things? Or all these prophecies of Bechira, are they about destiny, or are they about responsibility? Now, it's a big privilege to have that responsibility, but the question is, are the stories in Sefer Bereshit coming to tell us how much we deserve, and how much thanks to our forefathers, how much we get to have, you know, we have to thank you, Father, we're so lucky, we have so many things from you. Or are they promises of responsibility, that God chose us to be his nation, to represent him, and hence appreciate that as a privilege, but realizing the privilege is for the sake of responsibility, and take those stories and to inspire us to be more responsible and rise to the challenges, and not ask all the time, you know, why is God not giving my reward? Ask more. How do we take upon ourselves the responsibility of being a nation representing God? So hopefully that puts the story in Sefer Bereshit together.